to address a very important issue for the next 30 minutes. And incidentally, it's an issue that's going to span weeks, because we cannot exhaust it today. Matthew chapter 7 from verse 7 to 11. Matthew chapter 7 from verse 7 to 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? In this verse of scripture, we read the promise of God to answer prayers. The promise of God to grant unto us if we ask. He says, ask and you will receive. And we find another scripture in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Another promise of God to answer prayer. He said, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call to me and I will answer you. That's the promise. So with all the promises God has made throughout all of scripture to answer prayers, there are many who do not or cannot speak with confidence that God answers their prayers. And we are here. This lack of answers to prayers makes for frustration in the house of God and among God's children. So much so that many no longer pray. I've had situations where you say to somebody, maybe a lady, sister is crossing over for a life partner. I say, sister, you need to pray. Say, Pastor, I'm tired, I'm not praying again. Because they don't seem to be receiving answers. You tell the brother, this business proposition, have you spoken to them? Pastor, I'm not hearing from God, I'm tired, you tell me not to do what I want to do. So there's so much frustration in the body of Christ, so much frustration amongst believers. And you know, when our prayers are not answered, the joy of prayer is lost on those whose prayers are not answered. If you look at John chapter 14, verse 14, John 14, verse 14. We're going to do a lot of scripture search. And that's because we want to use the scriptures to tell us some things. Look at verse 14. It says, if you ask anything in my name, what will happen? I will do it. Look at John 16, verse 24. It says, until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive. That what? Your joy may be full. So we discover that when prayers are not being answered, the joy of the believer evaporates. What you have is sorrow, murmuring, complaining, grumbling, even envy. Because when they look at somebody for whom it seems that God is answering the prayer, they're very envious. So for the next few weeks, the Lord has asked me to share with us on the subject, why do we ask and not receive? Why do we ask and not receive? It will amaze you that as the Lord was speaking to me on this subject, you won't believe it. He gave me 21 reasons so far. 21. I didn't believe that we had that number. 21. Why your prayers have not been answered? Because it is directed at you. This is not a theoretical subject. This is a subject that has to do with each one of us sitting down here today. There are 21, but I don't think we can do even more than 5 this evening. Next week we'll continue until we exhaust it. Genesis chapter 21, verse 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 21, verse 1 and 2. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Hear what God is saying to you, Adam. There is a set time for everything. Many of us don't understand that. It is true that we should ask and God will answer. Yes.
that even in Nazareth, God is not going to go out of what he normally would do. There is a set time that God has in place. So even after you have prayed, you need to appreciate the fact that in the sovereignty of God, there is a time that is set. You are not alone in this universe. There are so many other people. In answering your prayer, there are many other people that are involved without your own prayer. And so there is a set time for that prayer. For example, the woman who is just crossing God for a life partner and seeking God's face, the man may not be ready. Except you want God to give you just anyhow man. You yourself that you are praying, you may not be ready. I remember one brother in the church that I pastored many years ago. Apparently, every time we gathered to pray, to meet, he was seeking God for a life partner. The one day I went to church and the Lord told me that day I should tell the fellow. I didn't know him. He just said, tell that there's somebody in the church. I should tell the fellow that your prayers are wrong. You are asking for a life partner. You don't have a job. You are living in your brother's house. What you're asking for, first of all, is a job. And then you can now get money to rent a house before we can talk of life partner. So there's a matter of a set time, priorities. Many of us would like to jump. It's only in Nigeria I seem to see, or even in Christendom that I seem to see people who think that God is a magician. A man who has gospel certificate expects that by a man laying hands on him and prophesying to him, he will become the CEO of the company. Let me get that vision. No hard work on his part. The Lord can say prophesy. Man of God prophesy. Prophet, like what they call them. Prophetic prophet, when that guy calls them lying prophets. Prophet lie. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the Bible makes it absolutely clear that there is a season and a time under heaven for everything. It says, so everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. You need to read the rest. Records of a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pop. What is planted? In chapter 11 and verse 11, the A part, he says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. When it is time for that thing to happen, it will be beautiful. It will be fantastic. Everything will fall in place. There's a scripture that says, the light has fallen to me. That is at that time. It doesn't happen in another time. There's a timing for these things. And each one must understand that. In verse 14 of the same Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says, I know that whatever God does, it shall be what? Forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him. Why is there no fear of God in the land? I can tell you easily from the scripture we read. Because men have not allowed God to answer their prayers. Men have not to take over their own imagination and machinations, and then there's no fear of God. We hear people talk of just choose anyone. My brother and my sister, let me tell you, God is still in the business of showing you who your life partner is. It is such a serious decision for a believer that he doesn't just leave it like that. Even what the business you should do, the job you should do, it's so important. Look, let me tell you, except you are not in the plan and purpose of God, and it's not possible if you are, except you are not born again. If you are born again, you are in the plan and purpose of God. In Psalm 102 verse 13, it reads, you will arise and have mercy on Zion. Why? For the time to favor her. Yes! The set time has what? Come! That's when God is going to arise in favor of himself, which is the church, right away. There's a time for everything. When we were silver bed, you better believe it, we were in the nursery, being trained. Now we are being brought out into a different environment. The set time for us to do what we are doing now has come. And the favor of God that was with us there is with us at this time for this purpose. If we try to do the old purpose, there is no favor. It's exhausted there. So the sooner we understand these things, the better. So there are people who are crying and crying to God, asking God to do one thing or the other for them. And yet they don't understand that there is a set time for everything. Then people jump out before that time. In Isaiah 48 verse 3, the Bible says, I have declared former things, God was speaking here. So I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth from my mouth, and I caused them to hear it. Suddenly, I did them, and they came to pass at the same time. That is why the Bible says that by the time God brought the captivity of Israel out again, people marveled. They couldn't believe it. They said, indeed, the Lord has done great things for them. Why? He had been promising. They thought it was just a promise. And when he did it suddenly. So the first reason why it's possible that you seem to appear that your prayers have not been answered, it is not yet accepted. There is a time. And each individual has to step down. The fact that Brother A prayed for 2 minutes and he got an answer does not mean that you will pray 2 minutes and you get an answer. In James chapter 4, you see another reason. James chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 1, even though where we are going to be actually 3. But I'll read from verse 1 to enunciate some things. James chapter 4, from verse 1 to 3. Let wars and fights come from among you. Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. So we're not talking about people who are not asking. Do you understand? Because what was the topic again? Why do I ask and I don't receive them? So let's go to verse 3, which tells us, it says, you ask and do not what? Receive. Why? Because you ask amiss, that you might spend it on your pleasures. There's too much asking amiss in the body of Christ. I don't know where we have been taught this thing. Honestly speaking, I don't know where this teaching came from. Because when I was growing as a believer, we were not taught, we were taught, first of all, to seek the will of God and then ask. To answer prayers that are prayed according to his will. So the first, we spend time studying the word of God, seeking his counsel, then when do we pray? We pray like the fellow in Matthew chapter 8 prayed when he went to the Lord and said, I know that thou hast made me best with you. We didn't doubt the ability of God. What we're focusing on was, what is the will of God in this matter? No wonder in 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. The Bible says, 1 John 5, 14 and 15 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him. Not many people have this confidence in God. That is why even amongst Christians, the name of God is named blasphemed. Because we don't believe that God answers prayers. So what do? We run to a man and we say, this man of God, God answers his prayers. We are turning many pastors into Balaam, who want to force themselves to declare what God has not declared. Because we have said that whatever they say happens. Whatever they say cannot happen if God does not approve. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he does what? He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. Did you ever read anything that says he will answer? Is there anything like answering them? Yes. It's a matter of faith. If I know that God has heard me, I have the confidence. I have the answer. I may not see it physically, but I know I walk with that confidence, with that assurance. There are too many of us who are walking far. There's no confidence in our strides. No confidence in our steps. We are walking like people who are playing, who are gambling. They are playing lottery. They are not sure if it will work. Maybe this one will work. Maybe that one will work. So sometimes you say, I will fast for 3 days. Maybe something will happen. Let me wait. If something doesn't happen, then I will go to Brother So and So. We already have a plan. There's a plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D. Let me tell you. Let me give you information today. With God, there's no plan B. In fact, there's not that plan, there's plan A. So the moment you have a plan B, I can guarantee you it's not from God. God doesn't have a plan B. That's a plan B.
If there's supposed to be a plan B, he will tell you that, you see, what I'm calling plan A is a good. I just want to deceive the enemy that there's a plan B coming. And he told Moses, he said, don't worry, I'm going to push you to the edge of the sea. Pharaoh will say, he's going to attract. He thinks that there's a plan A, but there's a plan B. I'm making a way because I want him to come. I want to drown him and his entire army. So they will never, ever in their lives be able to pursue you. Praise the name of the Lord.
There's a scripture that I find many people quote. In Psalm 37, verse 4. Now, they don't quote the whole verse. They just say, the Bible says, God shall give you the desires of your heart.
I'm sure you heard that prayer.
And I'm sure many of you have foolishly prayed that prayer. Father, you said, you will give me the desires of my heart. But there are preconditions. Let's go to verse 3 and look at the preconditions. Trust in the Lord and do good. That is the Bible. Dwell in the land and feed on its faithfulness. Have you met those conditions? Have you met those conditions? Are you feeding on the faithfulness of God? Do you consider God a faithful God so much that you can sit down even when you don't have anything? You are just dwelling on the faithfulness. Say, I remember I was sick and God healed me. Even though my prayer was missing, even though I was weak, God did this. Have you sat down to count on your hand the faithfulness of God and discover that even when you get to your legs, they are more than your digits on your body? And then it begins to grow like a stream. And you begin to wonder that, wait a minute, I don't think I've said enough on the faithfulness of God before I start discovering Him in this way. We don't force into God. I want this, I want that. This faithfulness of God. Have you considered it? Then look at verse 4. Delight yourself also in who? In the Lord. And then, you see the ant. What does the ant tell you now? That you have to do this first one before the next one comes in. Is that not so? Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Many people quote the scripture wrongly. Search them very well. They are not delighting themselves in the Lord. That's why they cannot talk about that person. They think they can rewrite the scriptures, and God will listen to the writing of the scriptures. God doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So, we are asking amiss. We want to consume these things on our pleasure. We are not delighting in God. We don't look for what is it that delights the Lord. What is it that God delights in? Let me do it. And I tell you one thing. There's no way you can delight in God and your desire be contrary to the desire of God. It's not possible. It's not possible. Empirically tested or otherwise, it's not possible. When a man delights in a woman, everything he wants to do is what that woman wants. Is that not true? When a wife delights in her husband, her desire is the desire of the husband. So you cannot delight in the Lord and have a desire contrary to God. So God is saying, we are asking amiss. We are going to change our prayers beginning from today. We will recognize the set time. We will recognize what God desires. And then we will ask that. Number 3, in John chapter 15, verse 7, I'm not even sure we can get to number 4 today. In John chapter 15, verse 7, the Lord Jesus, speaking of Himself as a true vine, made a profound statement that has something to do with prayer. In verse 7, it says, if you abide in me, not the word if. What does if mean? It's a conditional statement. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Is that your Bible? So I ask this question. How many of us are abiding in Christ? How many of us are abiding in His word? What does it mean to abide? Who can help us? Ask me a question now. What does it mean to abide? To dwell, to live, not to pay a visit. Too many times what we do is to visit the Lord Jesus in the morning. Our Bible study is but a devotion is but a visit. Excuse me, sir. I'm here. I'm going to have a meeting. They told us to be meeting with you at 6 o'clock in the morning. So come. I have to go to work.
You understand that? So
you have only 5 minutes. So whatever you need to say, say it now.
But before you say, I have a lot. And then when he finishes, sorry, 5 minutes past, I need to rush.
It's not.
How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. No, let me see your hands, gentlemen, because definitely you are guilty.
That's what we do. We don't abide. Do you know that when you are abiding in the house, look, for example, in your home, it will be strange for your children to always come and be disturbing every time they come to ask you for something. They will play with you, will they not play with you? They will greet you, will they not greet you? They will do housework. Sometimes they don't even have to ask, you will do it. It is why you are not abiding. Somebody who comes from the mirror, when they come to see me, is coming to ask for something. Is that not true? So when you have become a petitioner before God, that's all you do. You wake up to come and petition, and then you go away. And you say, I've asked. I'm expecting an answer. After some time, look, God, the limit, the time limit is the end of. What on the way now? Some people have given God to the end of 2016 to do it. On the 31st of December, they are going to look, they will have more faith than you and I. And you may even be here. But the first of December, say, Lord, this last day, you will do it. How do you do that? What were you doing from January to that at the first? No. You were busy working with God on time. And if you look like, yeah, you don't know that God is the same you say, for him and that. God says, to be forward, I will show myself more forward. I'll be for him and myself. Say, go and ask Jacob. By the time I showed him one or two tricks, he understood who I am. Many of us don't abide. In fact, one of the things the Lord told me that there are many visitors to God, but very few members. Many visitors, but very few dwellers. In John chapter 1, 29, 3 to 39, the Bible tells us about how John the Baptist introduced the Lord Jesus Christ. The first time he introduced him, he said, that's the Lamb of God who takes away the Son of God. Nobody has heard. The second day, he saw Jesus again. He introduced him again. He said, I said, this is he that I told you. I'm not able to go and undo the latter of the sandals. Two of John's disciples. They left John and followed Jesus. When they saw him, they said, he come back out. What do you want? He said, sir, let you second. That is the man who was with them. But the man was the sir, they told me you are the Lamb of God. Can you just give me salvation? I need to rush somewhere. It is this hurry. That is making many of our prayers to go on. You don't know that God desires to sit down with you and have a conversation. By the way, prayer is not monologue or soliloquizing. What soliloquizing is, you sit and you talk to yourself. Monologue, you are the one speaking. Every person keep quiet. Prayer is that. Prayer is conversation. Prayer is more than communication. Prayer is actually called communion. Where there is a common union between you and the other person that you are having conversation with. In that kind of conversation is a very, very deep conversation. Sometimes you are talking, but you are not talking. The closest thing to it is the kind of conversation that takes place between a man and his wife. They can sit there in one place and talk. They're just talking. They're just communing, that's what they're doing. In the midst of all of that, a request can come. A statement can be made. And an answer is not. If you look at the scriptures, many of what we have today as doctrine came as a result of the disciples interacting with Christ, asking questions. They didn't even know that what they were asking was going to form serious doctrine for the New Testament church. We are not abiding in the true vine. We are visiting rather than dwelling. Later on, we're going to see, I think, when we look at something else, we're going to see that. I think we should just stop here. We can't say that there's no time to take an error. We'll continue from four, when next week. So basically, three things are clear. Number one, why am I asking and I'm not receiving any answers from another set time? So you're not seeing a manifestation because the time is not yet set. Secondly, you are asking amiss. You're asking for things that are selfish, things that are self-centered, that you might consume it for your own pleasure. Why do you want a car? So that everybody can see that you're not suffering, that you have a good God. Is that why you want a car? Why do you want that big house that you want to live in? So that they can say that you have arrived. Have you really arrived? You are more focused on what people will say than what God is saying to you. Thirdly, we're not abiding in Christ. We are disciplining him. We are coming to have monologues. So the poison where he is, but we're not really having any communion, any conversation with him. Tonight, I want us to make up our minds that even these first three things that we have mentioned,
if we are guilty of them, you must stop.
Because I can tell you this for a fact, that God wants to answer
prayers.
It is his delight, his desire to answer prayers. And for you, God wants to answer your prayers. And so he's directing you aright. That stop asking amiss, find out what my will is. Stop coming to visit. Spend time with me. I need people who spend time with me. When the Lord chose the 12, the Bible says that he called 12 to be with him, that is, he called 12 to him, that they might be with him, that he might send them to preach, and that he might give them power to cast out demons. We have changed the world. The first thing we want to do when we come to Christ is how to cast out demons, even without preaching. And then after we have cast out demons, we want to learn how to preach. Now, the spending time with him, we're not even interested in it. All that must change in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads to pray. I want you to talk to God this evening. Maybe the issue that you have is the matter of a set time. You need patience. You need patience. You need to talk to the Lord. Say, Father, help me. Reveal to me your plan and purpose. Let me not ask amiss. Let me ask according to your will, according to your plan. I want to be partner with you in what you are doing. I don't want to be a stranger to you. I don't want to be a visitor. I want to be a part of you, a dweller in your house. The psalmist said, how long is your dwelling place? I don't want to be a visitor. I want to be a dweller. Where we can commune and discuss issues. If we have asked amiss before now, let's go to God in repentance. Say, Father, have mercy on me. Father, forgive me for thinking only of myself. Nothing. Those of us who have murmured against God, not recognizing that there is a set time for everything, we need to go to God in repentance and say, Father, forgive me. We didn't know that there was a set time for everything. And now I know that you have me in mind. That I have not been forgotten. It's just a matter of time. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Ask the Lord to help you to be an abider, one that dwells in his house, one that lives there, not one that just comes to pay a visit on a Sunday or on a Bible study day, one who goes for a program just to get something. Talk to the Lord. Lord, I want to be a dweller. I want to be one who can be said, this one dwells in the house of God. The Bible tells us about how the Sanhedrin, they looked at Peter and John, that they were unlearned men. But then they realized that these men had been with Jesus. And they realized the reason why they had so much boldness. Because they had lived with Christ. They were not visitors. Many of us are not bold. We are cringing. We are fearful. Because we have not dwelt with the Lord. We have not spent time with the Lord. Talk to me.